This is KCLA FM, Los Angeles. Now broadcasting from coast to coast and around the world on web radio at KCLAFM.com. Stay tuned for more.
You ready?
WebRadio.com, your internet radio destination for the new millennium. Live anytime.
On any day.
From anywhere. It's WebRadio.com. Nothing can compare to what's happening across the network. So come listen to this station live at WebRadio.com with music,
news,
sports,
whatever your taste.
It's there. Web Radio also has some cool giveaways all the time. Be sure to check it out. WebRadio.com.
You're listening to the Dating Advice Girl Radio Show on 99.3 KCLA FM, your source for dating advice in Los Angeles.
It's Erin, the Dating Advice Girl, here on 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles, California, you guys, California. All right, so we're back in the studio. Yay, consistently. We're back consistently in the studio. So you guys, as I mentioned last week, we're in the midst of my dating interview project. So last week, if you listened, I'm so proud of that episode. It was the first one of this series where I'm interviewing men and women singles in the realm of dating, but in regards to race, ethnicity, religion, age group, all of these things for the first round of interviews. Later on in the year, I'll be doing some other interviews in regards to lifestyle, gender, sexuality, all these other things. But for the moment, this is where we're beginning. Last week was multiracial men and women. It was pretty powerful, actually. That was episode 178, I believe. Go back and listen to that if you haven't. It's really, really great, actually. It's very heartfelt, very emotional for some of the participants. I think it's kind of eye-opening, actually. You know, like, we don't know what each other's experiences are. So that's kind of the basis for which, that's why I'm doing this series, is to just so we can hear from people, hear their experiences, maybe to possibly just for understanding, but also to maybe have some more compassion for each other, you know, and just hear each other's experiences. Like, I think it's, for me, I'm fascinated to hear everybody's individual experiences, because they're different. Everyone's experiences are different in this world, okay? There's certain things that we all do experience, but the way we experience them are very different a lot of times. And I think when we hear those things from people, and then we see, oh, their experience is different, but they're not so different from me. I have something similar to them that's happened to me. That's when amazing things happen in this world, okay? That's all I'm going to say in terms of preachiness. But this episode is great. My participants are millennial women in this episode that I'm about to, or this, the interview I'm about to play for you. They are very honest and candid about consent and about, you know, dating being a millennial, because that's a very interesting age group. They grew up with technology. They grew up with Facebook, and, you know, later on in their, you know, millennialhood, they've grown up with Tinder and all these things. It's totally changed their experience of dating. I'm totally fascinated by it. So this is the group. Without further ado, this group is Tierra Nicole, Sam, Chandler, Rouge, and Mira, okay? And they're really great. Here are their experiences with dating. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm Sam. And if so, from where? From parents, sex ed, friends, or peers?
I learned it from sex ed, and then mostly peers, I guess, and our experiences together.
I think the same for me, too. I learned about it in sex ed, but I think that as girls, they don't really tell us as much, even though I feel like we should be told that more, you know? Even because a lot of times, it is found to be the boys or the men that are not finding the consent word, you know, not hearing yes or no. But I think it's important for us to know as well. And that it's just kind of a thing that I think that as girls we know, you know, to hear that word yes or no, and that's consent or not. I don't know if that's making sense, but
no, it is. It makes sense because girls are the only part, or supposed to be the only people who can say either yes or no. I think guys just go with it. And then if it's not yes, then they just still try to.
Yeah.
But girls have the power to verbalize either yes or no.
And yeah, that should be something that should be told more to them. Like, be more, you know, adamant about saying no, if you want to say no. Whereas I feel like usually it's them drilling the men, like, you know, oh, you should always, you know, only do it if you hear them say yes, if they want to do it, if they consent to it. But it's just as important for girls.
I grew up in small Catholic town, so there was no sex ed, no one really talked about sex or consent with the body ever. So I pretty much just learned about it as I got older from, like, my peers and viral videos on the internet and just that communication between people as we got older. And then also something I feel really, really strongly about in terms of consent, I kind of think in, like, an opposite manner of sometimes girls aren't perceived as a threat, so we're very, like, cutesy and we think we can get away with everything, and I've been noticing more and more that men are dealing with issues of consent, because a lot of women now just think, like, oh, this happens to me all the time, so it's okay that I do it to men, and, like, I'm not a real threat, so I'm going to do whatever I want. And I think kind of it's a thing between all genders that everyone kind of needs to work on.
Yeah. I took sex ed multiple times because I moved a lot as a kid. I don't remember ever learning anything about consent. I don't remember that. It was all about just don't get a disease, just don't get pregnant. And that's what stuck in my head. So even if it was taught in kindergarten, it wasn't.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a thing.
And as someone who usually dates women, issues of consent are really interesting because we're both consenting, and sometimes I don't hear a soft no very well, so I'm completely capable of pushing on someone else's boundaries. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
I learned from my parents first, and then sex ed, and my parents. So I was kind of formed in my own perspective before I received it.
Do you feel like it's more casual with other millennials, or do you see that there might be an age difference if you date someone older? Is it more chivalry and stuff?
I usually like to date, so I'm 22 and I usually like to date people in their 30s and up, and when I date older men, it's more of let's go on dates and like do nice things, instead of just, hey, come over, let's Netflix and chill. I feel like the older you get, the more fast that you move.
Yeah. I've gotten that in dating people who are maybe a few years older than me, they may have an expectation, or they may know that I'm a millennial, and so they may try to meet me there in the millennial dating pool, but I am not there. And so then there's a bit of confusion, and then there is a conversation, and then there's, okay, so we're actually going to go about it this way. Because I am a millennial, but I don't totally subscribe to the millennial perspective of dating and how to date and what's appropriate. Not at all. Yeah.
Well,
But what about the whole, like, once you are dating someone, so you get over that hump of trying to date someone, and then now you're dating them, and then you have all these distractions for you and your partner that are, you know, involved with Instagram and Snapchat. And I feel like that always causes a huge problem in my relationship, because it's like I was saying, like, a lot of things can be erased. So you always have, like, a little bit of doubt, even though you trust the person. There's temptation and destruction everywhere now, literally in your hands at all times.
I think I'm just thinking of people, because I'm in a non-monogamous relationship, so that doesn't affect me at all. But when I think about people that are, it does. And I've heard people complain, like, I hate looking at their feed and seeing these girls and complimenting them or whatever.
Yeah.
It's also the trusting of your relationship, because when you use my relationship, last relationship as an example, I had really bad trust issues with my ex-boyfriend, and like when I would see him comment on his pictures, like pictures, and I mean, I get every once in a while, you know, that's normal as a guy, I get that, but when it's like, you know, a lot, that's kind of like, it's disrespectful to me, and you know, it's on social media, so it comes kind of like down to me, and you know, my friends follow him, so it's kind of like, okay.
You feel embarrassed.
Yeah, I feel embarrassed, and it's like, you wouldn't do that to me, and I wouldn't do that to you, so I would, you know, want the same respect. So I think it does have a lot to do with your relationship. And I was actually talking to one of my co-workers, and she told me that she was having like issues with her relationship because of everything else that she went through. Very, you know, she said once her boyfriend and her deleted all of that, their relationship has been, you know, much better. And it's also like, why do you have to delete all your social media just for a relationship?
So, are you saying that you have not embraced the dating app, online dating culture? As millennials.
I feel like all of my friends have, everyone that I know have. I missed it in my relationship. I like started dating right as they started to become popular, but I kind of grew up around it, and you know, everyone that I knew, everyone that I live with and stuff is all, that's what you do. You meet someone online, you meet someone on your phone, and then you talk to them on your phone, and whether you like them or not, it's, decide that through text and messaging and
anything. I have to embrace the social media. Seeing that, it's not intimidating to me, it's just engaging. I'm a really big community. And I can talk to people. And I've had friends that I've literally never met before, and been friends for 2 years. So I'm really proud of myself on great communication. But when it comes to actually dating, several different apps, I personally am not interested, but I see it everywhere, and my friends are totally with it, and they say, hey, Tiara, you should go and do this, and meet this person, and I'm like, okay. But I have a story. People finding you through hashtags if you're in a slick city, and then initiating from there, even if they don't know this. How does that work? Or anything heavy?
Yeah.
With like, are you saying like
through Instagram?
Yeah, especially if you're in like the, like as an actress or like a model. I don't know. You're like, that, like a lot of times that hashtag will like, people will, not just like people who want to come here and like pursue that from like other states and other countries and stuff, but also sometimes creepers.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yes, but not on the creep wave, it's been people who I coincidentally know, but we have mutual connections with, we just don't know that they exist, and they find girls through a hashtag, like, Memorial Day weekend, for instance. You can literally find someone and say, hey, let's link up, and it's
so great.
Hey, let's go to Caesar's Palace, meet me in the lobby, and then you know what I mean, that's a connection point, and hashtags are a connection point.
Were you saying that in some ways your generation has embraced technology and dating, but in some other ways it becomes a not
it becomes something you avoid with dating.
I've personally seen, like, my friends use, let's see, Tinder as an example, and it's gone both ways for them. Like, they've had really good experiences and then really bad experiences, and just from the bad experiences, I've just been like, okay, well, that's, they're like, they would ask, well, why don't you want to sleep with them? Like, for those bad reasons. And I just, I'm the type of person, I'd rather meet someone in person, get to know them. And I feel like online, half of the time, everything's fake. I mean, everything's edited, or, you know, they could be lying about, you don't know. You know, they could be a serial killer. I have anxiety anyway, so, like, I feel like knowing my luck, if I were to meet someone, it wouldn't be like the person, or it would be so catfish.
Right.
Yeah, something like that would happen to me. So I completely would just avoid all online dating. So,
just, and I have a more like positive online dating outlook or experience too. So I have super bad anxiety as well, which is, it's hard for me to meet people in person. And when I moved to LA, it was like super hard for me to make friends in this town. And all of my friends back home were like, oh my god, you should try Tinder, it's like this new app, blah, blah, blah. So I got on, and I was like, oh, this kind of helps. Like, I can meet people nearby, and I'm just always, like, super cautious with any online dating. Like, you know, I do the whole, we're going to meet up here, it's going to be 5 minutes away from my house, even though you don't know that, but, like, I need to be close to a safe zone. You know, I send my best friends, like, hey, this dude's name, his phone number, this is where we're going to be at, like, check in. But I've made a lot of connections in the past couple of years just off of online dating. Like, I still have a lot of friends that I met through Tinder, some romantic interests from Tinder, and I've met some really, really genuine people from it. And, yeah, I feel like it's easy for it to be, like, a source of disconnect, but I feel like if you go about it the right way and you just happen to come across, like, other people using it the right way, it's a good way to connect for our age. And now it's like everyone's on doing online dating. Like,
yeah,
you know, I see 50- and 60-year-olds on Tinder, and I'm like, hey guys.
I feel like it started out with 50- and 60-year-olds though, with like eHarmony.
Yeah.
And we were like, ew, like online dating, that's so embarrassing, don't say it out loud. And now it's like everyone does it.
That's, I feel like, so different age groups have their different things too. Like, millennials were all on like Tinder, and then you get to your like 30s and 40s, and everyone's on a Plenty of Fish.
Yeah, what's the other, OkCupid's really popular.
I've also had the experience, and I don't have like a significant following on social media or anything, but I am very intentional. And so with me presenting myself with intention through social media, you have these people who are attracted to that intention, and it's not as shameful to me. Versus someone seeing me on the street or in a grocery store or at a club or a lounge. Because on social media, if I am approached, even when I am approached, my first question is, what do you want? But if I person, because you can feel the warmth of that person is there. And reciprocal for them, they can feel my warmth and know that whatever I'm presenting physically is not a priority for me, and I don't depend on it as far as my needs.
This is interesting because I've noticed, I feel like there is a little bit of a backlash from millennials in terms of online dating and dating apps, because you've seen older generations use it and it go horribly wrong. So there is, I feel like that's what's interesting. I think there is an assumption from older people that younger people are using these apps more, when I think you might be using them less in certain circumstances.
I think that they're being used more to like talk, you know, they're not being used as much as like to find a relationship. What'd you say? I feel like you had said earlier about embracing it. I think everyone has really embraced or been okay with the idea now of using online dating, but I don't think it's necessarily benefited us, like long term especially.
Which is, I was just going to say, online dating probably a lot of times is really online.
Yeah.
I can meet someone anonymously if there's this online thing. And
hook up and never see each other again. Like, I said, I'm like, I think a lot of people do that. Take advantage of that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can see, like, how close someone is to you. So you can find people close to you. So a lot of times people do when they're, you know, they've been drinking and they're like, I need a hookup. Like, they'll see who's close to me right now. And if you really want to be in a relationship, that wouldn't matter who is, like, you know, 0.5 miles from you. Like, that wouldn't be important.
I've tried Tinder in my neighborhood. I was very much a family oriented neighborhood. It's not like, you but I think it'll be different if I live somewhere here or, you know, in the heart of Hollywood or downtown. It'll be different experience. So I, maybe because of where I live with the location specific apps, I turn up because of what I like. So I think that's also up to consideration.
But don't you think that's weird that they put that in the app?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Like, I get, like, oh, they live in the same, like, LA. You know, they live in the same location as me, but why is it...
Yeah.
I feel like that makes it a hookup app.
That's another...
Well, it started as a hookup app. All of them did. All those did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another consideration. I've spoken to a few of my friends, and as far as being a millennial in LA, I'm not sure how it works in other cities. Or I guess I can say New York as well. You want who you're going to date depends on where they live. Because if they live in Woodland Hills and you live in Culver City, you're gonna be like, okay, no,
hours.
This is not happening. This is not happening on the app. But if you were to meet them in person and they said, oh, by the way, I live in Woodland Hills, then you may or may not be swayed to further interact with them because you met them in person. Their energy versus
direct acting. And yeah, that's another good point because I feel like we are making our judgments on people based off of not only like what they want us to see, but also like what we get from them based on this, you know, these pictures and these statistics and stuff, rather than like meeting someone, like you said, and being like, oh my gosh, like I kind of really hit it off with that person.
Right. I think as well on to supplement that point, it's up to filtering, personal filtering, because I feel that sometimes millennials, if you're not dating, you're on the extreme end of social media, like as far as like showing your body and portraying a certain type of image, versus if you are dating, it's the total opposite. So it's always one of two extremes. Either you're like a hypersexual social media person if you aren't dating casually or other. But if you are, then it's like, oh, wifey, hashtag wifey, or like wifey. Like, why
you're
can it be single, single and
you're
going to be funny and if you're in a relationship with
someone? It's like, why don't you just chill and just
chill out? Because I feel like no one should be able to tell whether or not you're in a relationship simply from your social media. That's how I personally feel.
Do you think that our like dating style and like hookup culture as millennials is like at all influenced by the fact that we're technically children of divorce? Like having that generation of parents, baby boomers, or like all poor, so marriage is not working out. Do you think that kind of influences like this weird jaded sense in our generation where we just like fuck with them?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kid of divorce.
Yeah.
Wait, all of you?
Yeah.
Not me.
The majority of us. Yeah. And so I like had really bad anxiety about committed relationships for a long time. Like, well, what if I commit to this, but it doesn't work out, and then I'm going to get the cycle. And so I don't know if you guys share that anxiety, but that shows up. Yeah. I think from personal experience, I am a child of divorce. But I didn't take it as a negative experience because my parents. Fortunately, I've learned of my parents as personalities outside of being my parents. I've had that experience. So when the divorce happened, I didn't take it. Oh my God, like relationships are this way, and that is the only way that they are. Not at all. That was not my experience. I think being a child of divorce and within my family, I've taken higher value on relationships. And so that may be the opposite effect. But that's been my experience. I value people more because I've had that experience, the divorce experience. as
what I've learned from that was that if it's not working out, there are other options and you deserve to be happy. And I think a lot of us might have that energy, and so if they have all these, like, our parents didn't have these options in front of them. They still got divorced and worked it out, but we can, I met my partner with you, but and you're seeing, you can still scroll through there and see all these amazing people that you might want to connect with.
Yeah.
Which is kind of tenacious.
Yeah.
Ideally, you're going to stay with that person, but if you have a really bad fight and you start to, like, question it,
scrolling.
Yeah, it's easy to have that backup idea.
And that doesn't mean you still have to go to a bar. You have to have a drink. You have to sit and wine with your girlfriend or boyfriend or now, it's just, oh, I'm going to pick up my phone.
Yeah.
On my counter. You know, you don't have to go out, like, you don't have to physically, you don't have to intentionally take out your frustration and then start your methods.
It's like a catalog.
Yeah, it's a catalog. It's like, oh, like, whenever I'm mad, let me just pick up my phone instead of, like, go to the bar and have a drink and be mad and, you know, bring your drug.
Exactly. It's an easy way out now.
Yeah, it's an easy way out.
Right, so there you go. Fascinating discussion. Sorry about some of the audio issues with that. There was some work being done in the studio, unfortunately. But hopefully you got the gist of it. I mean, it's just such an interesting conversation with that age group, right? Millennials, I think it goes, what does it go? I think the high-end cutoff for a millennial is 34, I think, 34, around that. So yeah, I mean, that age group, those women, I mean, their experiences with dating are very specific. It was really interesting to me to hear, still in that age group, a lot of those women didn't grow up with sex ed. Like, what is happening? Like, why are we not, we're so uninformed. And again, that's nothing, I'm not specifically speaking about these women who were just interviewed on my show, but, you know, even for me, I mean, I didn't, you know, I remember a little bit about sex ed, but it was more about where babies come from or how babies are made and STDs and pregnancy, oh my God, but it wasn't about consent and how to do things safely. And again, I'm not going to get on a soapbox, but it's just very interesting to hear that, you know, and it's like, wow, okay, so if a lot of people aren't learning basic things, then it makes some sense that certain things are happening, like sexual assault and things. You know, people aren't learning things. And if parents aren't teaching them, they aren't learning anything. So anyway, that's a little bit of a soapbox. But there you go, you guys. That's episode 2 of my dating interview project. Next week, we're going to do another episode. I'm not sure which one that'll be. We still have a couple other ethnic groups. We have a millennial men group. We have a bunch of other groups. And every group is so forthright and open to sharing and really honest with everything they're saying. And I just, again, I just want to say thank you to Tierra, Nicole, Sam, Chandler, Rouge, and Mira for this episode. That video will be up soon, if not already, when you're listening to this. So you can, like, check out, you can actually look at the people you're hearing from. And yeah, thank you to those girls. You guys were great. Thank you so much, ladies. And that's it, you guys. We'll be back next week with another episode of a Dating Advice Girl radio show on 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you guys, or hear you guys, or you'll hear me next week. All right. Have a great week, everybody.